Wow. Wonder how many people over the last couple hundred years have been blessed with the message of that song. I so appreciate the message of that song. Has blessed my soul many times. Thank you, Brother Harold, for sharing with us this morning. I was telling the family on the way here this morning that maybe we should just have a prayer meeting instead of a message this morning. And maybe that is what the Lord is saying. We were talking about what Jesus shared there when he cleansed the temple, said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Yes. And I pray that we could have a house of prayer here. I'm thankful to God this morning for taking me off the trash heap. For just coming to that trash pile. I was one of those trash pile people. He came to that trash pile and he saw that piece of trash and he saw that there was some value in it. He saw value that you and I many times overlook in others, I'm afraid. But I am thankful to my Jesus this morning. Let's kneel in prayer. Lord, thank you this morning for so great a salvation. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming my soul from destruction. Amen. Thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning, and I pray for God's people. Wherever they're meeting today, that you would meet with them, Lord. Be pleased, Lord. To meet with your people this morning. Without you, we are nothing. And we want our lives to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus here upon the earth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was preparing for a message yesterday, and I was out in our school room, and our little 2-year-old son comes into the room, and I was sitting on a chair reading there, and he comes across the floor with his tractor and wagon, But without looking at me, he says, "Papa." And then he said, then he looked up at me as he said, "I love you." And I smiled at him and thanked him for his love. And he continues on across the floor and he said, "Papa, I really love you." And I continued reading and I continued prepare for my message that I thought I should preach, and I started thinking more about His words, and I started to think about the power of an affirmative word like that, and just the power of our words in general. And I considered all of the missed opportunities in my life as I thought back over my life and thought back over the relationships, relatives, friends, family, and how many times I missed those opportunities, and remembered also Brother Dave saying here, and with the death of his brother and some of his family there, saying about what a blessing they were, but how few times, not sure how he shared that, but that he didn't very often share that with his brother or with the family, what a blessing they were in his life. And the more I pondered that, the more I realized that the Lord was changing my message for this morning. And I meditated here out of James chapter 3 for a while, and just considered these things, and the more I considered it, the more I realized, I think probably one of the, or maybe I should say some of the greatest regrets in my life are from either blessings that went unsaid to ones that they should have been said to, or things that were said that shouldn't have been said. And so I couldn't get my mind off of that. Thus, I'm going to share a meditation here on the tongue. I think it's in Proverbs 18, verse 8, that it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of our tongue. I'd like for us to turn to James chapter 3 and read through it. I had it memorized at one time, as some of you probably remember. But unfortunately, I can't quote it to you this morning. I think we'll read it. I think it would be a blessing for us to read it together. Let's just all read through the whole chapter together. I'll give you a minute to find it there. James chapter 3. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Well, this chapter here in James speaks primarily of the tongue. As a fire, as a an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And we can go to many scriptures. In Psalms chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, it talks about us being able to murder with our tongue. It talks also in Psalms 52 about the deceitful tongue being a razor. There are many scriptures in Proverbs where it talks about the use of the tongue as being defiling and can, well, as it says in Proverbs 18:8 there, we can cause death, we can cause hurt, we can cause much destruction with our tongue. And here in this chapter we can see the tongue, it says, is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And it's so powerful, it says in verse 2, that in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, I hope that's not discouraging to you this morning. Jesus said, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Peter says that we are to be without spot and wrinkle. Paul talked a lot about the victorious Christian life and that we can be more than an overcomer. And so here, to start, before you get overwhelmed and say that it's who then can be perfect, I'd just like to put those scriptures before you that it is the will of God that we strive for perfection. Or Jesus wouldn't have told us to be so. And I think also his death and resurrection speaks much to us of the victorious Christian life. And I don't believe Jesus died in vain for us. I think we can be victorious over sin. I believe we can. And though James doesn't give us a lot of hope with our tongue, I think if we balance it with the rest of Scripture, I think it's clear that by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in our risen Savior, we can overcome. We can be victorious with our use of the tongue. We put bits in a horse's mouth. Just a small little gadget. And we turn that horse whichever way we want it to go. I don't have a lot of experience with horses, although we had some riding horses at home. But I watch my neighbors. I have one neighbor that trains horses. And he has those things running down the roads with those trucks and cars and motorcycles driving by. And he has that horse under control just with that little bit in its mouth. And the example is given here also of the big ships. And I don't know how big the ships were then, but the ships are huge today. It seems to me like the ships today are about as big as this building. I know those big containers that you see on tractor trailers heading down to the port. They look like little matchboxes sitting there on those big ships out there on the water. I don't know what size they are, but they're very big. And yet, with just a very small steering wheel on that ship, that ship can be guided across the ocean and right to the port where they want it to go. Even so, the tongue, it's just a little member, isn't it? And it seems amazing to me that in such a little member, death and life are in its power. Much more so than the strength that we have with our arms to hurt or bless someone. Much more so, according to the Scriptures here, we have power to hurt or bless someone with our tongue. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." It says over here in verse 37, "But let your communication..." Well, I'll read the verses before. Verse 33, "Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." That's one of the scriptures that really came alive to the early Anabaptists. And I think they frustrated their persecutors by how honest they were, how true to their word they were, and that they wouldn't say anything more than they had to say. Their yea was yea and their nay was nay, and that settled it. And so it can be with us, brothers and sisters. We are called by Jesus Himself here to let our communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. And I don't have a lot to say here this morning about the wrong use of our tongue. Like I said, James 3 is primarily speaking to the wrong use of our tongue. And there are many scriptures, Psalms and Proverbs are full of it. And we could certainly preach a message about the wrong use of our tongue. But I would like to lift up this morning here the right use of our tongue. But just before we go into that, I just want to lift up the two ways that we can wrongly use our tongue. That's by saying the wrong thing, but it's also by silence. Did you know that by silence you can hurt someone? By silence you can bring a curse upon someone? By silence you can miss many a golden opportunity to bless someone. And I just bring that out because I know it's been my temptation in the flesh whenever I see that I've failed with my tongue to take the other approach. Okay, I'm just not going to talk. But that doesn't work either. And many times when someone gets angry, they will lash out with their tongue in a very hurtful way. But some think that, well, because I don't want to lash out in a hurtful way, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to give the silent treatment. But you can be just as hurtful with the silent treatment as you can with lashing out with your tongue. And I just want to say that here to in the beginning, that just because we can do hurt with our tongue doesn't mean we don't use it. We just need to run to God for grace in our time of need, that we use it in the right way, in a life-giving way. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let nothing proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." Are you ministering grace with your words? Does your words give life? Do you walk away from a conversation feeling confident that person was blessed by what you had to say? Psalms 50, verse 23. "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." I'd just like to say for my first point on the right use of the tongue is to use it to praise God. Use it to glorify your Maker. To lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing you can be certain of, that when you are glorifying God with your tongue, you are using it in a right way. You won't go wrong with glorifying God with your tongue. You won't go wrong with the sacrifice of praise, as it's called in Hebrews 13. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to the Lord, bringing glory to our God with our tongue. We can be a sweet smelling savor to God with our tongue by offering praise and thanksgiving to His name. I think it's in Matthew chapter 12. I want to read a verse here. It says in verse 36 and verse 37 of Matthew chapter 12, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So, my message here this morning is to exhort you to consider your words, and not only to, here it says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 and 9, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" So I'd like to try and use this scripture as the foundation. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing." One of the right ways that we can use our tongue is telling one another that we love them. What a wonderful basis for a relationship as brethren to be hearing out of their mouth that they love you. You know, it's hard to find fault with a brother, isn't it? If he calls you up on the phone and says, "Brother, I didn't have any reason to call you, but to let you know I love you and I'm praying for you. God bless your day." Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. There are many, many things that we can say in affirming our love, in blessing one another, in encouraging one another. There's even a way, I believe, that we can tell one another that we love each other by giving an admonishment. If you do have compassion one of another, if your heart is compassionate and it is to redeem your brother from destruction, if you see him going a wrong way, then your actions speak louder than your words. Did you know that it's not just your words that speak when you're speaking to someone? Now, of course, if it's on the phone, it's maybe not as effective. Your body language isn't as effective. But even there, an attitude can be heard in the words. The words that we speak are not just the words. You can say right words and yet not bless the person that you're speaking to. You can say all the right words, kind words, blessing words, and yet the person go away with a sour taste in his mouth. And he can feel like, what was wrong with what that brother said, what that sister said? Because when we're speaking, and the other person is looking at you, and they not only hear the words that you say, but they see the expression on your face, they see your eyes, and they see they hear the tone in which you say what you say, and they see the body language that you're giving. And many times, and I think this is no small matter, and that's why I'm bringing this out here. Many times, someone can hear the right thing with their ears, but with their ear of their heart, hear something else. And I think sometimes that's why you can hear something different from someone, take something different from a conversation from someone than what someone else did. There may be five people listening to someone's conversation, and they may all five go out and tell someone what they heard, and they may all five say something different, because some may have taken their words at face value and said, this is what he said, and some will be taking it through the ear of their heart and saying, this is what I heard him say. It may not have been the actual words he said, but it's what he heard him say. So, I use this verse as my building block this morning. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. If you have compassion in your heart, that's what's going to come through. Even if you have a hard thing to say to someone, they will feel loved. I've had people say hard things to me, and because I know that person loves me, it wasn't hard to hear. It wasn't hard to receive. But if I'm questioning their love, if I'm questioning their motives, which I probably shouldn't be doing that, but it's harder to hear. It's harder to receive something from someone if you sense it in your heart that that person has guile towards you. So, I give this here in the beginning that you can say all the right words and yet it not be received if it's not out of compassion for that person, but rather, I'm going to put that person in his place. I'm out to put him in his place. And if that's your attitude, then you're wrong, brother. You're wrong. Just like my son affirmed his love to me by telling me that he loved me, we need to speak words of affirmation to one another. I have failed you, brothers. Yesterday in my meditation, many failures came up in my heart. Times when I spoke out of place. But more than that, just the unsaid blessings. Just not affirming my love to you. Just not lifting up your hands. I had a birthday recently and had a card in my mailbox from Brother Kent here. And I haven't had much of a relationship with Brother Kent. We don't know each other that well, but he affirmed his love to me. And it really ministered to me what he shared. And I don't even remember the exact words here this morning, but just his thoughtfulness and taking the opportunity, using a birthday as an opportunity to give a blessing and to affirm his love to me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Let's give life with our tongue, church. Let's offer life. Let's be a source of life to one another. Amen. We can give life by giving praise to God. We can give life by blessing one another, by telling one another that we do love them, that we do appreciate them. It's so easy to let life go by and everything is fine. Then we see someone misstep and then we want to bring correction. And that's right. But how many missed opportunities did we have in that person's life where we could have, should have been speaking life to that person that maybe would have been the stepping stones that they needed to have not brought this occasion for correction in their life? Think about it. We have the opportunity to give life with our tongue. If out of the compassion of our heart, we are offering life to one another, we are going to be a tremendous source of strength in that person's life. It is. It's life. It's a source of strength. It's a source of blessing. Brother Jeff calls me just out of the blue when he's busy at work sometimes, just to check up on me, make sure I'm doing okay. He'll ask me, "What are you doing, brother?" And that has really been a strength in my life. It makes me stop and think in the middle of my day. What was I just thinking about? What was I doing? Where was I going? A few months back, I pulled into a gas station, and there was a very immodest woman ahead of me, and just like that, the phone rang, and Brother Steve Coleman down in West Virginia now says, "What are you doing, brother?" And I said, "Well, you wouldn't believe it, but the devil just put a temptation in my pathway." And I explained to him the situation. And so he went on to exhort me from the scriptures, blessed him that morning in devotions. And that was a source of life to me. That was blessing to me. That was something that I've too often failed in with my brothers. James here, chapter 3, says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and it's without hypocrisy." If we will let this be the criteria of the words that we speak to one another, of the blessings that we give to one another, of the affirmations that we share with one another, I think we can be victorious. And we can be that man that offends not in word, but is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. I had another thought that I was going to share, but it doesn't seem to be there now. So I think I'll go to my closing scripture here in Psalms 141. "Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear to my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." I'd like to give this verse to us in closing. If you are saying, "How can I overcome?" Whether it's in just opening my mouth and speaking a word in due season, or closing my mouth from the foolishness, or as Paul told Timothy, to shun profane and vain babblings. Let's not let our conversation be profane and vain babblings. But right here is a beautiful prayer for you to pray. Now,
As you start your day tomorrow, as you go forward from here, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And that whole chapter is a beautiful prayer for you to pray. But I think I'm just going to stop right there. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And I will. You know, there's something about a two-year-old's innocence. And sincerity that has a way to bless your heart like nothing else can, maybe. But God help us to just put away all of the things that cause us to keep our mouth shut when we should bless someone, and to really, it's a matter of just denying ourselves, looking past ourselves. We're not here to protect ourselves, but we're here to bless someone else and encourage someone else along life's way. Who knows but that God will use it in your life or in the life of that brother you bless to live a victorious day, to overcome the wicked one that is out to seeking whom he may kill and destroy. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips.
Thank you, Brother Dean. I appreciated those words and how you gave it the positive side of what is often spoken about, but rather to give blessing and to give encouragement and love. I had to think of Jesus asking Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, I love you." And he'd ask him again, "Do you love me?" And how he wanted the depth of that love to be expressed to him. And perhaps it was a challenge in Peter's life, "When I leave and ascend up to heaven, will you love me the rest of your life? Will you love me in death? Will you love me in persecution?" Also appreciated so much the emphasis on the silence and the need to not just be silent. I have to think of the various marriage difficulties that we run into sometimes, where couples give each other the silent treatment and how painful that is. Rather than words of blessing and joy and admonition and thanksgiving on all the things we do for each other, imagine silence. My brother-in-law once told me of being a hired man on a farm years ago where a couple had no children. And he would go in and sit down for a meal, and the husband and wife would have silent prayer and ate their meal and never said a word. Not one word to each other or to him. Finish their meal and leave again. Can you imagine those things? My. May God help us. But especially, I believe, Brother Dean, this is the key so much for a vibrant and healthy relationship and a brotherhood, when we make those affirming expressions of love and support and grace, and just like the scripture says there in James, how we can entreat each other that way. Being treated. What's the other word there that is used? This wisdom is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and it's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. May God give us that fruit of peace and love in our hearts and in our church, in our brotherhood, in our marriages, that it's so necessary in our day, rather than the other that can be resorted to. All right, someone else have a testimony? Raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you and let you share with us today. Brother Dave?
I'd like to say I appreciated the message tremendously. I'd like to encourage Dean not to sell himself too short. I think he's a tremendous blessing and an encouragement to all of us, and I appreciate many things that he has said to Amen. Me. He mentioned something about my brother John, and I had to think about it. John was excommunicated from the Amish. He took a stand against the use of tobacco and against he thought they were baptizing unconverted young people. But his children told me that he forbade them to say anything bad about the Amish or to slander anyone. When you talk to those children, you won't hear them saying things that are negative about people. They'll lift up the good, and they won't attack. They won't attack. They'll attack bad things, but they won't attack people. And I'd like to lift that up too. I feel like I fail so often in that way, and it just made me think about it when Dean said that. I appreciate it. I also was thinking about a Bible verse. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And I want to make that something that I do much more. I want my speech to be seasoned with grace.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Someone else up here? Melvin, Brother Malin.
Yes, I would also like to express my appreciation for the message this morning. I feel the Lord has spoken to my heart. Mm-hmm. With that, I want to confess that I don't always use my tongue to the use of edifying, and just want to express my desire to just yield that area of my life to the Lord and allow the Lord to give me gracious words to speak. I long for I long to be more like Jesus, where grace and truth have met together. So easy to be maybe lopsided on those things. And mercy and truth, how is it grace and peace have met together? Can't get the words right now, but that's my desire. So,
Amen. I
wanted to share that.
Thank you, Mel. Up here in the front. Oh, Harold, go ahead.
I thought of the words that the Father spoke to the Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Even Jesus received the affirmation and the blessing, the confirmation from the Heavenly Father. I also want to I found in my mailbox a whole bunch of birthday cards, and there was lots of affirmation there. I want to thank and bless you. Certainly, I think that I need to learn and choose to make that the weapon, the tool to bring glory to God and to blessing to my brothers and sisters.
Thank you, Harold. Amen. David?
Yes, well, I wanted to stand this morning and thank God also for bringing the message this morning.
Yes.
I want to rejoice publicly that God still arrests us and changes our messages, and
yes,
that He spoke to us as a congregation this morning. I also wanted to give my testimony of what a word of affirmation does. The power of a word of affirmation has many times in my Christian life simply a word, not even a long word, but just simply a small word of affirmation has lightened an entire day or a very dark trial that I'm in. And I can testify to doing that. Especially, I think that in correction, affirmation is very important. That when I've been in difficult times and God's been dealing in my life, when my ministry has not gone so far as to cut it completely off, you know, you are worthless, because that's the way correction can sometimes make us feel. But oftentimes God is faithful to bring a word of affirmation. You know, you need to repent. You need to come this far. And that's my... I feel like I need to learn in that area. You know, I've learned from Brother Mose, and I know Brother Denny has also had a word of spoken words in my life. And when I hear this morning, I feel that that's the area of my life, that when I'm giving direction and correction, there need to be a word of affirmation. I know Brother Rick one time when he left the ministry there for a time for a sabbatical, and I still remember his words at the bottom of the steps to me. He says, "David, make sure that when you're dealing with people, they sense the mercy of God in your dealings." And that's my desire too.
Amen. Good words. Yes. Here, DJ. Excuse me. I'm Melvin. I get that. We have another one over here. All right, Ephraim.
By way of confession, I'm not a very good communicator with my speech, but the silent treatment is also communication. Growing up, I knew what it was like to sit around or tolerate some very quiet meal times. You know, that was part of life. And I struggle with that. I see that in myself. Just when things aren't the way I want it to be, then I don't want to talk. I really want to grow in that way, be able to minister life rather than death. And also the other thing about our trip to New York City last Saturday, I would like to state that I was very blessed with the way that through that wicked confrontation that we had, just my brothers and sisters around me, the way they responded and the courage and strength it gave to me. And I thank God for the victory that I had through that. But afterwards I had to ask myself, what would have happened if I would have been all by myself? And I'm not sure that the answer would be that good. So I want to confess my weakness in that, and just, I'm a needy brother.
Yeah, that's where the church all is about, you know, how we same thing with what Brother Dean said by getting the phone call, how we build each other up and help each other through those difficult times. Okay, over here. Yes, Helen.
I am blessed by the message this morning because I am the recipient of someone who really knows how to bless and speak affirming words even when I don't feel like I'm doing such a great job. I want to bless my dear husband for the way he encourages me. And I want to say to the young moms, this is just what I needed to hear. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. We feel like we're giving orders all day long to our children or correcting them all day long, and sometimes they don't respond very well. And part of it probably is that we're not pouring honey all over them and finding ways to bless them and affirm them. Just last night I was telling Nathan that maybe the response would be better if I would remember to do that. That they, if they really feel loved, then my corrections would be much easier to accept.
Man, thank you, Sister Helen. We are tested brothers and sisters in many ways, aren't we? Anyone else? Yes, Ray.
I just wanted to share also, I was very blessed by the message and convicted that my tongue isn't always in the best place. I don't always speak the best words at the right time and always uplifting. And just also that I have been very blessed in being here with the words of the different brothers here encouraging me. And I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Ray. Glad you're here and hope you'll find your way with us, among us.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.